today's fast-paced environment, knowing how to manage stress effectively is critical to thrive amidst the challenges and demands of the workplace. Hello, I'm Chester Elton, and this is my dear friend and co-author, Adrian Gostin.
Thanks, Chess. Yeah, according to the American Institute of Stress, employees' stress levels are at record highs. Well, it's probably no surprise to anybody who's listening. Our guest today has a few solutions to offer. As always, we hope the time you spend with us will help reduce the stigma of anxiety at work and in your personal life.
And with us is our new friend, Dr. Steven Stein. He is a clinical psychologist who helps individuals improve their emotional understanding, enhance their work performance, and leverage stress for growth. Dr. Stein consults with numerous reality TV shows, including Big Brother Canada, The Amazing Race Canada, MasterChef Canada, and Bachelor Canada. A theme there. Providing psychological expertise and candidate selection assessments, he recently released the books Hardiness, Making Stress Work for You to Achieve Your Life Goals, and Emotional Intelligence for Dummies, the second edition. Dumbed it down just one more time. Hey, Steve, we are just delighted that you found the time to be on our podcast. Thank you for being with us.
Well, it's great being with you today.
Well, again, before we get into your books, really interested, Steve, as we looked at your background, tell us a little bit about some of these cool TV shows you're working on, like Bachelor, Amazing Race. So how do you assess these people? Give us maybe a few stories of working on these shows before we dive into your books.
Well, it is a lot of fun. So I'm involved in the selection screening. So we test them to make sure they're, you know, mentally stable enough to be on the show. Of course, you don't want them to be too stable. You want them to be just exactly that right balance where it's entertaining. And I also work with people while they're on the show when it gets a little too stressful and we got to deal with situations there. And I'm also involved in debriefing once it's over, preparing them for what's on the outside world, what the social media world says about them, and helping them adapt to the future that happens afterwards. So it's a lot of fun, a lot of different shows, a lot of characters, as you can imagine, and it's just a whole different kind of a gig.
And any fun stories about where you've had to walk somebody off the ledge or somebody was a little too enthusiastic that you want to share with us?
Well, I guess one fun story was with a baking show we were screening for. And what happened was, people had to come and bring samples of what they were, what they baked, you know, for the producers. And this one woman came wearing sort of a bathrobe and had a plate, and she took the cover off it, showing a piece of cake, which was obviously a store-bought cake. And then she let her robe down and was wearing a bikini. So the producer says, "You're auditioning for the wrong kind of show, lady." And they escorted her out of there.
That's a great one. By the way, Steve is coming to us live and in color from Toronto, Canada. As you know, Adrian and I both grew up in Canada, so delighted to have another Canadian on the show, eh? Listen, you talk about hardiness, and it's interesting that you use the word hardiness. How is that different from like resilience or grit that we seem to hear more about?
Yeah, good comparison. So hardiness is less well known. Resilience really means if something bad happens, you go through a stressful situation, you bounce back to where you were. And hardiness, what we talk about and we show, and there's actually over 20 years of research in this concept, you not only come back to where you were, you come back stronger and better than where you were when you started. So you actually develop more, grow as a result of the stressful situation. In terms of grit means just, you know, putting your head down and going forward no matter what, just plowing along. So if I wanted to be, for example, a concert pianist, I just dedicate my life, even though I don't have the talent or the ability, I just keep going and going and going, trying to do that. So when you're hardy, it's more about what we talk about, the three C's, but one of them is challenge, where you see the opportunity, but then you learn from it and decide, wait, maybe I'm not going to make it as that concert pianist. Maybe I could be a teacher of music. Maybe I could play in studios or whatever. But it's that ability to sort of stop, evaluate, change directions. Interesting research on grit, by the way. They found that people who are high in grit, when they go to casinos, they lose more money, right? Because they don't stop. They just keep on going.
So it sounds like, yeah, they're kind of different maybe times, but this hardiness, is really what we're looking for. So maybe explain the relationship between hardiness then and our ability to adapt to changing circumstances. Every company we work with nowadays, the CEO or the senior leader who brings us in says, my people need to get used to change. It's the new normal. So how does hardiness connect with our ability to adapt then to changing circumstances?
Okay, so hardiness is basically a mindset, the way we approach the world, and there's what we call the three C's that make it up. And the first C is challenge. So when a change is presented to you or something comes to you, you know, we have a number of ways of looking at it. You could say, oh my God, here we go again. I don't want to go through this. Or you can sort of step back and say, okay, this may be an opportunity or there may be some benefit to this. So it's a way of approaching the situation that's a bit different. The second C is control. And what's important there is understanding what there is within this change that you can control versus what you can't. So let's say the whole corporation's decided that this is the way we're going. Well, it doesn't make sense for me to fight that because I'm not going to change that overall picture and direction. But what can I control, which is my reaction to that change? What could I do within my own little world that makes a difference? And the third C that we talk about is commitment. And what that means is purpose. And it's important for each of us to have our own purpose, our direction in life. Where do we want to go? Where do we see our future? And once we have a good sense of that, of our purpose, then these little things don't bother us so much because we know that we have a bigger goal that we're going after, and that helps guide us. So those are the three C's of hardiness.
That's really interesting. I appreciate that commitment, you know, that purpose that gets you through hard times. And we often talk about, you know, control what you can control because there's so many things that are out of your control and you can't let that bother you. But in this world of hardiness, what erodes that for us? What wears away our hardiness? And how can we safeguard against losing that good mindset that you talk about?
Well, sometimes, you know, it's just hard to keep it up unless you really work at this and practice it. We just get overwhelmed, right? The anxiety just sort of creeps in and we start doing what ifs or, oh my God, and, you know, all these negative thoughts that come into our mind. And we give a lot of exercises in the book on how to sort of deal with this or sort of build your muscle, like going to the gym. So when something negative does happen, we're prepared for it. We can say, okay, let me just step back. Let me just step away and look at this situation as though it happened to a friend of mine and not to me. What would I tell my friend to do? So it's a different, it's a way of reevaluating the situation, looking at it more externally.
Excellent.
Yeah, no, I love this idea of hardiness, and hopefully everybody checks out your book, Hardiness, Making Stress Work for You to Achieve Your Life Goals. So how do people, other than picking up your book, Stephen, how do people learn more about your work?
Well, I do have a website, stevenstein.com, and my company is mhs.com. So there's a lot of information there as well in terms of these topics.
Well, one thing, I always look at subheads because as a fellow author and, you know, we've published, you know, what are we at now, 14, 15 books, Chester. We spent a lot of time on our subheads and you argue them out. I can imagine there was some debate on this making stress work for you because it's very counterintuitive. So tell us a little bit about that, you know, leveraging stress for your benefit. Again, sounds a little counterintuitive to us.
So there wasn't a lot of debate in terms of our subheading. My co-author, Paul Bartone, who's a retired colonel from the U.S. Army, he was actually the senior psychologist in the Army, a psychologist there, and worked at West Point. And he was the one who's done most of the research in this concept of hardiness. He's been involved in it for about 20 years. So what he found over time, and a lot of this research was done in the military, was that people who were stronger in this hardiness tended to do better as combat soldiers, as veterans following. And a lot of his time was spent at West Point training leaders. And as we know, that's a key place for leadership training. Right. And they studied concepts like hardiness against other things like grit that you mentioned earlier, and resilience, and found that hardiness was a better predictor of who came out as a good leader. So it was a matter of taking stress, turning that stress into a more positive energy and using that to move forward or to do good.
Yeah, because you do talk about leveraging stress for benefit You know, often we talk about I'm overstressed or I'm so stressed out it paralyzes me. So how do you take that stress combined with this practice and mindset of hardiness and really accelerate and do better? It just seems so counterintuitive.
Yeah, we teach people to reframe the stress, to think of it differently. There's a great study done by Alla Crum from Stanford, where she worked with people, cleaning staff in hotels, you know, who schlep around with the mops and the brooms and whatever. And they told half of these cleaners that, you know, the work they do is very stressful and they should look after themselves and take care of themselves and, you know, eat well and exercise. But they took another group of them and they said, you know, you people are really lucky. The work you do is exercise. Like, rich people pay a fortune to join gyms to do as much as you do in a day, schlepping from one room to another. And what they found was significant differences over about 8 weeks, where the ones who they told they were getting exercise were healthier. They had a better heart rate. They had better blood pressure. They actually lost weight and they felt better. And all they did was give them these different instructions. So we call this reframing. If you think of the stress as something more positive and don't get bogged down with a bunch of negative thoughts about it, it can make a huge difference in your life.
We're going to start doing that in the beginning of our podcast, Jess. You know, Steve, you're lucky to be on our podcast today. That's great.
Perfect.
Hey, before we close, this has been so great. Let's move on to emotional intelligence. You just wrote the second edition here of Emotional Intelligence for Dummies. So we've talked a bit about emotional intelligence, EQ, on our program here. So what are your suggestions as somebody who's written literally the book on it to better understand our emotional intelligence ourselves and make it work in our favor? Give us some ideas, especially in the workplace.
Yeah, well, there's three things or three components to emotional intelligence that's common to all the different theories that are out there now. One of them is just being aware of your own emotions. Know where you're coming from when you react to things. And also learn to be more aware of other people. So what I recommend you do in that context is just to listen more, a little bit more patience. There may be people who you encounter at work who you don't like very much, but just take a little bit more time to hear where they're coming from. The second component of emotional intelligence we talk about is the ability to manage those emotions, both your own and the people around you. So there's a whole series of things you can do to better manage. You know, we don't say to suppress or get rid of the anger, but we channel it in a different way that can be more useful. And the third component is using emotions. So sometimes we've got to motivate ourselves to do something, to give a talk, to do a project. How do we get in the right mood? And I have a lot of suggestions in the book. One that I use to help, I don't know how you guys get through your books, but I use music a lot. So I'll put on Van Morrison when I'm writing to help motivate me. And if that doesn't work, I turn it on to Chicago, the rock band. And that really gets me motivated because, you know, in the course of a day or a week, I only have 2 hours to write and I've got to be productive in those 2 hours.
It is interesting how music is a motivator, isn't it? My wife and I just went and saw MJ on Broadway, the Michael Jackson story. And when they go to Thriller, they blew the doors off the place. It was just crazy. It was, and it does. It's very motivating. Chicago, by the way, is a rock band. You're dating yourself a little bit there, Steve. does anybody know what time it is? That's a great song. Hey, you mentioned that you use music. We're always interested in personal things that you do. So you mentioned you use music. What else do you do, being the expert on hardiness and managing your stress? What else do you do, Steve?
Well, funny you should mention, we should mention Chicago the Rock Band. I have a rock band, actually.
Oh, and good for you.
We do play Chicago, and we play Amy Winehouse. It's a 12-piece jazz rock group. And I play regularly at a bar in Toronto. We play once a month, which we love. And we have a male singer, female singer, and music is kind of my way of relaxing and doing something different from my day to day.
What do you play, Steve?
I'm a sax player. I play in the band. I play baritone sax. We're called the Tuesday Horns, so we have a really cool horn section as well as a good rhythm section.
And you play on Tuesdays at the bar?
Actually, we play on Thursdays. People, what the heck? I thought you guys are the Tuesday Horns. No, we play Thursday nights, the second Thursday of every month.
Another counterintuitive thing we're learning today from Steve Stein.
Hey, we're wrapping up. We're on a bit of a tight schedule today, but give us one big takeaway for our listeners that to develop their hardiness, manage their stress, and just live better lives.
Well, I guess the one simple tip for you to do is to be more patient and to listen to people around you. Pay more attention to what's happening, to what's going on. If you're unclear of something, just ask questions. You know, you look like you're feeling angry right now. What are you really feeling? Can you sort of share that with me? So pay attention to others, see where they're coming from, be a little more empathic, and you might have a nicer day.
Excellent. Hey, our guest has been Steven Stein. He's written some wonderful books on hardiness and emotional intelligence. Check him out at stevenstein.com. You've been a delightful guest. I hope that you can become a Maple Leafs fan again. Steve was sharing with us the frustration of being a Maple Leafs fan over the years as hockey fans with us. It always comes back to hockey in one way or another. Hey, thank you all for joining us as well on the podcast. But Adrian, as we transition, I'll give you the last three words before we do our wrap-up.
Well, thanks, Steve, for joining us today. We want to appreciate and wish you the best of luck with Hardiness, the amazing book, and emotional intelligence. Yeah, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Well, Chess, what a wonderful guest. Steven Stein has such a great way about him. And I loved his definitions first of helping us understand grit versus resilience versus hardiness. You know, grit, you know, it's good. It helps us get through things, but sometimes grit can be, and I think I'm reading between the lines, you can be kind of a knucklehead. You just plow through and you're not thinking or learning. Resilience is you bounce back to where you were, but hardiness, he says, that's what we're trying to do because we learn, we grow, we become stronger through hardiness.
Yeah, wasn't it interesting? He said that those that have a lot of grit tend to lose more money. The casinos are that. Yeah, I all of a sudden it made sense, didn't it? Yeah, he talks about hardiness being a mindset, you know, challenge, control, and commitment, the three C's, which is really interesting to me. You know, the challenge is, what am I learning? How am I growing and developing? Control is, what can I control? What is out of my control? And commitment, that purpose that takes you through hard times, which I thought was really interesting. And he said, you got to practice it. You know, it's you don't want to get caught up in the what ifs. And he's got some great exercises in his book on that helps you develop that hardiness and that frame of mind. You know, what would my best friend say? I love that he said that. It's one of my favorite go-tos when I get into a negative space. What would Adrian say to me?
Exactly.
He'd say, suck it up.
Yeah, suck it up, Nancy. Come on. Yeah. That's great. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I like those three C's, you know, the reframing the challenge and what can I control? And also, yeah, what commitments? You know, what's my bigger purpose here? So I love that. And that you have to work at it like a muscle at the gym.
Right.
And this big idea of reframing stress. I mean, that's so important. We've talked about it so much on this program is that, yeah, instead of, oh no, I have to do this thing. It's, oh, I get to do this. And we think, it's so trite. It's just this little game we play. It is actually a little game we play, but it's really powerful too. And give it a try next time you're up against something that gives you tremendous anxiety to say, hey, I get to public speak. I get to whatever it is that scares us.
I love the reframing of the cleaners at the hotel. You're getting a free exercise membership. And it worked. You know, it is. To your point, you reframe it as I get to come to work. I don't have to go to work. My last thing is his final takeaway is, you know, you've got your own things. He uses music. He plays in his band, right? The Tuesday group that plays on Thursdays.
Thursday, of course.
Why wouldn't you? But be aware of other people, manage your emotions, and use your emotions to your benefit. I thought a great takeaway right at the end.
It really was. You have some great takeaways today from our guest, Steven Stein. We want to thank Steven for joining us. A big thanks to our producer, Brent Klein, to Christy Lawrence, who helps us find amazing guests, and all of you who listened in. If you like the podcast, please share it, download it, tell your friends about it. We'd also love you to visit theCultureWorks.com, where there's some free resources to help you and your team culture thrive.
Yeah, and we love speaking. You know, invite us to do it virtually or in person. We speak literally all around the world. Adrian's heading to Spain to speak in Barcelona, which will be a great fun.
Madrid, yes.
Oh, in Madrid, sorry.
It's not as fun to say, but yeah.
We speak on culture, teamwork, resilience. Give us a call. We'd love to speak at your event. And our book, of course, pick up a copy of Anxiety at Work. It's available in Audible and fine bookstores everywhere. And it's also available on Lit Video Books, which is the next generation Foundation of Learning, a wonderful platform where you can, you know, learn a lot, feed your mind, feed your curiosity. It's litvideobooks.com. A wonderful guest. Loved Steven Stein. Brought a lot of humor and a lot of great ideas. Adrian, as always, though, I will give you the last word.
Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us. Thanks, Jess, for taking us through some learnings today. And we wish everybody, until next time we talk, the best of mental health.
Cheers.